This TFMR podcast is brought to you by your friends at JM Bullion. Visit jmbullion.com for all your gold and silver bullion needs. Well, greetings out there to everybody at TFMR. It is Thursday, the 19th of March, Red 19. And this is your Thursday conversation. Craziness continues, madness, especially in the precious metals, but silver in particular. And I thought, well, for a Thursday conversation, we might as well get about the best silver expert I can think of on the line. And so here he is, David Morgan himself. David, thank you for spending a few minutes.
Well, Craig, thank you for that, and thanks for the introduction. I'm not sure I could keep that moniker anymore, but regardless, silver is still a passion, and I certainly have spent a great deal of time in that market and studying the market. So we just were talking off air before we started, you know, what's really going on, and I don't really know. I mean, I know what the repercussions of what's really going on are, so that's a kind of a fact. Just looking at the chart, so I'll just go through. First of all, before I start, if you know me or don't know me, I do provide a free newsletter. Just go to themorganreport.com. It's all one word, themorganreport.com, and just sign up for the free letter, which is just a first name is all you need, and an email. We do verify that's a legit email. I do a podcast by myself every Friday. You'll get that as a minimum. I do also webcasts, usually one a month. The last one we did was a unique way to invest in the platinum group metals. It was a speculation and still is on the Morgan Report speculative list, and I own it, so I'm biased. That company was kind of the mother company that spun off an e-waste company, so shareholders got the e-waste company for free. But that's a bit of a misnomer. I mean, there's some costs involved because when the parent company spun it off, they got it at a certain price. But anyway, I don't go through the math. The point is that the parent company is going to be recycling catalytic converters, which means that forward-looking statement, caution, caution, probably won't be true. They stated about a $250 million gross on the first year plant up and running at capacity. And the capitalization of the company is about $40 million. Now, $250 million gross isn't net, but I think you get the idea of the scale we're talking about here. Yep. So, you know, if you didn't get a 5 or 10 bagger in palladium, you could maybe, perhaps, there's a chance of getting a 5 bagger or more on this company, but you got to be patient on these things. And these micro caps are that, you know, the story talk stock world that I don't do a lot of, but I researched this one, et cetera, et cetera. So there's that. And I just did the webinar now for free. So everybody got one of my top specs for free if they were on the list. Perfect. And if you aren't, we're replaying it for, I think, $10. My webmaster sets it at $10, I think, and get a replay. So, you know, I've been willing to spend $10 or $20, whatever it is, to replay the webcast for that. You know, we interviewed the CEO. I mean, you're going to get the symbol, you're going to get the name, you're going to get the location, you're going to hear him say what I just said, a lot more detail. So it's a pretty good deal for free. And then, of course, there's a subscription service, which is well above and beyond that. And I'll just leave it at that. So, Craig, coming back into the markets, you know, Dr. Copper, I mean, Copper's been in a steady downtrend since really around October 2018, where it was at 330. And now we're at $2, Craig. I mean, we're in a congestion zone that it took almost all of a year of 2016 to 2017 in what I call an indecision pattern or channel formation, a big one, wide one, between like $2 and 225. Finally broke through that. So now we're back into that zone, which tells me that copper is doing its job as far as forecasting future events in the, not only the commodity sector, but in the global capacity as far as how much real economic activity is going to go. But what's superior to copper? Well, oil.
Right.
And honestly, I mean, I did an energy letter for a year. I quit. We didn't have enough subscribers. But the point is, oil is still key. There's nothing really except uranium that will give you the energy flux density, which is a fancy word of saying if you have a volume of a gallon, And a gallon of gas is going to give you a heck of a lot more energy than a gallon of solar panels or a gallon of wind or a gallon of water flowing over a turbine or anything else. I mean, it's very much energy. And this is, you know, something that people miss, but I'm a big believer in what Steve St. Angelo teaches. We don't agree on every single detail about every single thing, but we're pretty much in line. And the point is, oil is very important, and it's fallen off a cliff. I haven't looked today, Craig, but I know it was around the $21 mark yesterday.
Right. Yep.
So then on gold. Gold, really, even though I, you know, prefer silver, I've always owned gold. I tell people to own gold. If you subscribe to the paid version of the Morgan Report, the first thing you should do is read how to use the Morgan Report. In that document, I say the older you are, the more you should favor gold. Why? Gold's job is to protect your wealth. Silver's job is to help you become wealthy if you time it right. I think that's probably needs to be said.
Yeah.
Coming back to my gold thesis is, having been through all these trainings of option schools and, you know, stock analysis and fundamental and all that stuff, and most of it's been worthwhile, I am absolutely convinced that a cup and handle formation is the most powerful formation you can have. And gold has traced out a perfect cup from about, I'm looking at the chart as I'm speaking,
2013.
All the way through today.
Yep.
And the best thing it can do is make a handle downward sloping, which means from that day high of 1700-ish down to, I'm not going to pick a number, but you get the idea. It goes from that peak or in that area to the right over time and slopes downward. And what you do, according to Bill O'Neill, and I totally know this from years, is once it breaks through that handle and up, it has to be on above average volume or it's a fake out in almost all cases, you can go long. And of course I do trade, but I invest more than I trade. But so it's set up for an astronomically potentially huge next leg up. But if you're patient and you want to wait and be sure, and everybody wants to be sure when they invest, you know, whenever they invest, it's got to go up the next day or you're wrong or I'm wrong or the market's wrong or something like that. So gold to me still looks very good. It was holding to 1550, which is absolutely phenomenal.
Right.
Now it's holding 1500, which is like very good. So it's gone from like an A+ to maybe an A- or B+. If it holds 1350, that's like a B. If it holds 1300, that's like a B-. And if it shoots under 1300 and stays there for 3-4 days, then I'm going to have to kind of reevaluate, you know, where are we? But that's how I see the gold market. So the HUI it's just gotten creamed. It's down to about the 140 level, back down to where it was at the bottom in October of 2018, but much higher than it was at the bottom of the market, which was really December, January 2015 to January 2016, where it was at 100. So, you know, 140 from 100 is 40% higher, which means over a two-year time frame, that ain't bad. Now, I'm not trying to make excuses. I'm not trying to make myself right or any of that. What I'm trying to point out is the fact that if you draw a trend line from the bottom of 2016, which I'm convinced is the bottom, not only for the gold and silver prices, silver went below that. Gold and the HUI. If you hit that bottom at January 2016, connect it to the late July bottom of 2018, and connect it to today's current bottom, you do have an uptrend line.
David, I think that kind of begs the question that I wanted to really get your opinion on, because you've been at this for so long and you know so much about the mining shares. There are two schools of thought here. I mean, you look at this COMEX price, which is still the reference price, which is a function of what you mentioned earlier, crude collapsing and the dollar spiking. And I mean, everything has gone to hell since that OPEC meeting failed back 2 weeks ago. And that's, you know, oil's been cut in half. And I mean, $20 crude oil, like you said, is just untenable for all these producing countries. And so they're liquidating everything. And I think all those dots probably connect. So Here we are with a $12 global reference price. Let's just call it that through futures trading. That means these miners have been crushed. But you mentioned, you know, a gold chart looks good. We know fundamentally, given all of these extreme measures being taken by governments and central banks, fundamentally, gold probably goes up regardless once rational minds return. It probably brings silver higher. What are the parameters for an individual who still holds mining shares, whether they're large cap, small cap, explorers, whatever? I mean, if you're already down, do you set a 15% further loss from here? Do you look at them all individually? Do you think, well, you know, it's a function of your time horizon. So if you've held this long, you just got to look out 1 or 2 years and think, you know, that everything's going to come back. And it's a long rambling question / statement. But what are your thoughts on all this?
Yeah, well, to start at the beginning, I mean, what I teach on the paid subscription service is everybody should have a 15% stop loss on everything in the top tier and everything in the mid tier. And on the speculative side, I suggest strongly it's money you can afford to lose. So if it's money you can afford to lose, you don't really need to have a stop on it. But if you want one, I suggest 25%, because those micro caps can move 10% in a day easily. Of course, some of these bigger stocks have now. So those rules are hard to follow. I mean, and 15% is a good number, but it's a theoretical number. For example, you can have a stock in this recent sell-off that dropped 10% in one day, and the next day's open, it's down 8% for a total of 18%. So it broke 15. It's time to get out. You took an 18% loss, not a 15% loss. I think what's important is the mechanics of this, because people can be their own worst enemy. And I'm speaking from personal experience, so it's not like I've never done this. But they have to know why. Why did it go down? It went down because, you know, the coronavirus. It went down because the manipulators. It went down because of margin calls. It went down because gold is being sold. It doesn't matter. The market doesn't care.
Yeah.
The reason it went down is there's a hell of a lot more selling than buying. That's why it went down.
Yeah.
But you don't have to know why the selling occurs. It might make you feel better. It's an emotional response. But your reaction to it, or I shouldn't say reaction, don't react to it, respond to it. The correct response is, I don't care. It went down 15%, I'm out. Now, a lot of my people, you know, followers, subscribers didn't do that. And I'll be honest, and one of my biggest holdings, I didn't either. It's probably down around that level right now. It's a pretty big stalwart royalty company. But now what do you do? So, David, thanks a lot for that handy tip. I'm in. What do? I think at this point you hold. I mean, to borrow from the crypto people, hodl, hold on for dear life. I put up I do a lot of updates over the Camtasia software where I make a video, and then I post it to the members-only part of the website. And I just broke down Adrian Day's letter, which is for free out at streetwise.com. So any of your listeners, followers, anyone seeing this or hearing this can go there. And I think I have a lot of respect for Adrian. We think a lot alike. Make a lot of our picks are similar. It's and the same in the top tier. And he just says, you know, everyone's liquidating. You don't want to liquidate when everyone else is liquidating.
That's true.
Know, hold on. I had one of my subscribers say, well, how long, you know, David, if you think it's coming back, and I do, how long, you know, or take a look at how long. So I did. I made a video of that. It was in a previous video. And from the 2008 washout, it really took about a year to get back to the point where it started to do the waterfall decline. But, you know, at my age, a year doesn't seem like it's a lifetime. And if you were able to buy at the bottom, which I did in silver last time, I bought actually commercial bars at the bottom because, you know, just like now, the silver price on paper was $9, but you had to pay $13 to get it unless you bought it off the exchange or could find a dealer that had 1,000-ounce bars, which are very few. And so I took it off the exchange and sent it to a mint and had it minted into rounds. Which you don't have to do. I mean, if you're rich enough where 1,000 ounces is not a big deal to you, you could just keep it in bar form. That's the silver price, by the way. You know, when people say, well, I had to pay $3 more than the silver price, well, you're buying a Silver Eagle. a Silver Eagle is not a 1,000-ounce commercial bar. That bar has to be manufactured, it has to be heated, it has to be melted, it has to be extruded, it has to be punched, then it has to be, the die has to be made, then it has to be pressed, then it has to be sometimes polished or at least cleaned off, and then it has to be stacked, and it's got to be counted, and then it's got to be inventoried, then it's got to be put in a box, and it's got to be transported. So that's why it's $3, you know?
Right.
I mean, I'm sorry if I'm going on a rant, Craig.
No, but no, that's fair. I mean, that's, people need to think through things like that.
Yeah, so let's get to silver.
Well, hold on. Go back, though. What is the price you're seeing for 1,000-ounce bars? Do you know that?
Oh, you could get them pretty close to the frickin' paper price.
Okay.
See, that's where we need, like, this, you know, these people, like, you know, that have come into the silver market and bought those, like, you know, I buy, you know, rounds, you know, or dimes, silver dimes or something. Come in and just start buying those things like they're 100-ounce bars. Uh-huh. And putting them in their own vault or storing them in, you know, one of the COMEX warehouses. And that's when we get this real silver situation to take control with the physical market, just like palladium has done.
Yeah.
And that's where you see that's the real test. When you see the paper silver price start to move because of supply, then you're going to see the real deal.
Yeah.
The bifurcation that happened in 2008, I said it was an arbitration opportunity. I wrote a public article about it, and of course was glad that I live in an unpopulous town and no one really knows me outside of the silver community, because I'm sure people would be throwing tomatoes at me. But I was right. I said that it's not, you know, the COMEX silver price is not going to 13, even though that's the retail silver price. The retail price is going to come back down to match the COMEX price because they still have control, which is absolutely absurd. I've got to go on another rant here really
quick. Go ahead.
And I know we're running out of time. But
no, go ahead.
If this isn't the most stupid thing in the world, if you think about it, the COMEX for everything, soybeans, you know, the metals, coffee, cotton, doesn't matter. All of those are derivatives. Now, what's the definition of a derivative? A derivative derives its price or its function from the parent, from the absolute. Well, the absolute in gold or silver is gold and silver. That's what it is. And if those were trading and treated fairly and freely, and the market, the real market, set their price, then that price in the paper market would be derived from the honest to God price.
Right.
And it wouldn't be where it's at. But it's, many of you said it, you've said it several times, me too, it's the tail wagging the dog. The derivative, this almost meaningless thing, this little bitty part of the whole picture, sets the price.
Right. You might as well be trading baseball cards.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I agree. And it's the supply and demand of the derivative, which has no relationship to the physical anymore.
Very little. Just about none. You're right. I agree.
All right.
So where would you like to go next?
Well, all right. Let's do this. In our remaining time, let's just let's guess. I mean, because that's basically all we're doing. I've been telling people for weeks. I mean, people want to know, okay, what's next? Where is there a floor? Oh, you know, where is support and all this kind of jazz? And I'm like, I don't know. I mean, I can tell you what I thought was support a month ago when things were normal.
Yeah, right.
Okay. We don't have any, there is no precedent. There's no historical precedent. There's no chart. There's no COT report. There's nothing I can go back and look at the last time we had this kind of situation for reference. So we're guessing. If things suddenly get better, and they might, and we get back to normal in a quarter, that's probably good for gold because of all the cash that's been created is going to ripple through just like it did in 2009. If things don't get better and we head toward this kind of inevitable, you know, big reset that people have been talking about for 10 years. Well, that's probably good for gold too. But we just, you know, so I'm just kind of taking the picture, you know, the view that I just got to hang in there at this point, because I think either way, this is probably pretty positive outcome for precious metals. But let's guess, David. I mean, I guess we can't really predict at the epidemiology of this. And that's going to be a big driving factor. I mean, you and I, we don't know how this whole global pandemic's going to go. But let's guess anyway. I mean, do you think I guess we probably agree that the system eventually, you know, all debt-based system relies on constant liquidity and growth so that you can feed this ever-growing amount of debt. And here where, you know, the growth is collapsing and liquidity is evaporating. And now, so we've got a real problem. I mean, do you see us finally on the doorstep of, you know, this big reset kind of thing? What do you, I mean, what's your gut telling? What's your guess?
Oh, we're in the reset right now. Okay. I think strongly. I think, you know, the physical metal is the best place you can be. I think silver will recover. I do think we're actually set up for probably the biggest bull market ever, but that depends what the markets do. So guessing, you know, is the New York Stock Exchange going to be functioning fully 6 months from now? I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, I hate to say that, but I don't. I'd have to guess. I do. My guess is things are pretty bad to get worse for a few more months.
Yep.
And in those disruptions, there'll be a lot of places that never come back up because they are built on credit and they didn't have the savings required to keep their businesses. And that's a very sad thing. Going out 3 to 6 months, I think when you know grocery stores are normalized, if I'm right on that guess, you're going to go in, it's going to look a lot different. You're not going to go down the pickle aisle and see 40 different brands and 12 different manufacturers of pickles. So there are going to be two manufacturers. It's going to be like when I was a kid, you know my age. I mean, when I was 12-year-old, you know, you went to buy pickles. You got sweet pickles, dill pickles, maybe bread and butter pickles. There was Hunt and Del Monte. That was it, two brands, and that was your choice, which was a lot of choice in a way.
Yeah.
But now, you know, you've got bread and butter, hamburger size slice with a twist of lime. I mean, it's ridiculous. And, you know, I've been forecasting this for years, and here we are, and I'm not happy about it, believe me. I'd love to see things go on, but the thing's breaking down. So my final, this is a little more than a guess. I'm going to call it a conjecture. The main thing that's going to happen is food. Food, food, food. Let me say it again. Food is very important, and food prices are going to skyrocket, and that's going to wake up Americans that are still sleepy or not taking this seriously. Americans pay attention to two things, really. Well, besides the TV. But, I mean, as far as economics are concerned, it's gasoline prices and food prices. This could be perceived to be inflation when really it's a food shortage. It's a demand situation.
It's like silver right now, maybe?
Yeah. So I think this could spill over in the metals because, you know, and I want to say this not to scare anybody. I've gotten complimented through the years, David, you sound pretty level-headed. You don't sound extreme. I don't want to be extreme. I mean, from the establishment, I've always been quote-unquote extreme. But the point is that I think if you are worried about your cash in the bank, you can't get it out in cash. Try it. It's almost impossible.
Right.
But the easiest way to get cash out of the bank is to go into the best cash. So write that check for $10,587 and get some silver and or gold if you prefer. I think silver is a much better buy, but I'm biased. And that's an instant way to transfer that money out of the bank without any, you know, jumping up and down, it's my money, and why don't you give it to me and give me a thumbprint and an eye scan and your, you know, drop of blood and everything else. So if you really have too much cash in the bank, I think especially silver now at this price, but you could go to gold or both, split it, whatever. That's a way to withdraw a lot of money without a big hassle. And I think this is important because I think the banking system could, I say could, not would, have some situation where this whole credit thing does what it did in that movie Rollover I used to show back when I started on the speaking circuit 20 years ago. And that's an extreme case. But these are extreme times, Craig.
Yeah. Well, and that's all part. You go back and read what Powell announced back on Sunday, you know, moving the reserve requirement to zero. I mean, they're trying to multiply any cash that they create as much as they can to keep everybody liquid. And I just want, let's go back to that food point and before we call today, because that's a very good point. And it's not an apples to apples comparison necessarily, but you think of the bullion dealers and the premium they're charging for silver that they don't have or, you know, expecting to have in the future. Think of your grocery store, your food dealer, your food wholesaler kind of doing the same thing as food supplies become scarce, right? I mean, like I said, it's not apples to apples, but it's close.
No, you're right on. I'm glad you reemphasized it. I mean, I've honored your, you know, your thought pattern and the way you conduct yourself. And I think you've been a huge help to the community. I really enjoy listening to you when I can. I love what you do with Sprott and interviewing Eric and everything. I think you really, I want to just publicly state, you know, I think you really been a great aid to a lot of people. And, you know, I feel strongly that I can tell a person's heart in most cases. You know, I've still had a couple of swindlers get a hold of me on some of these speculative stocks. I admit it, because even the best can be fooled, even at my age. Yeah, but regardless of that, you usually could tell. And Craig, you're one of the real guys, and you're doing a real good service. And, you know, none of us are here to try to hurt anybody. I mean, the reason I've been a silver bull for so long is it is a poor man's gold. It's been used as money everywhere for eons. And silver's power is when it is money. It's only in the last 120 years when the power of control freaks took over money and made it gold only and then fiat only, where their control pushed silver away from its rightful place in monetary history. And that's been like 120 years out of 5,000 years. So from that perspective, it's a pretty small area where silver hasn't been functioning as it should, in my view. But that's where we're at. Doesn't mean you shouldn't get some, you know, junk silver. I don't like the term, but some constitutional silver. Get some dimes and quarters, half bag, quarter bag, couple rolls, whatever you can. Is it going to be a barter situation, David? I'm guessing it might. I doubt it. If you think outside the box like I have my whole life, it's a possibility that you rather have be safe than sorry.
Yeah. David, remind everybody again about the Morgan Report, where they find it, and what it is.
Yeah, just go to themorganreport.com, all one word, get on our free service, just give me a first name and an email. You'll get on our mailing list, and you'll get a bunch of good free stuff.
My friend, all the best to you. Keep those hands clean out there. You know, you mentioned what an old fart you are. I didn't even think about that. If there is anybody around that did live through the Spanish flu 100 years ago and should know how it worked, it'd be you.
That's right. You got it. Stay in the sun.
So you hang in there. Stay safe. We need you on the other side. And let's keep in touch. I just think your perspective and your experience, your accumulated wisdom really helps. And we need as much as we can get in these unprecedented times. So please, let's keep in touch. And in the meantime, keep washing those hands and stay healthy.
Sounds good, Craig. Thank you.
And from everybody here at TFMR, thank you for listening. And God willing, we'll have another Thursday conversation next week.